According to Go Magazine, Henry Hazard accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior when he was a junior in high school at Sagawachi, Colorado. Is that correct? So watch. I was so close. I was so close. Should have talked with you beforehand. In his youth, he shepherded sheep and cattle, but in 1971, after graduating from Dallas Theological Seminary, Henry was invited to shepherd a Christian flock of believers in Panama City. Here are some of the things he learned along the way. Well, if you want those, you're going to have to go ahead and pick up your free copy of Go Magazine. They're in the back. Talk to Pat. It's a wonderful article. But today we want to look back at those years, honor a man who is certainly owed and worthy of honor. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who calls and equips. You're a God who places those in authority over us that you desire for your will, for your purpose. Lord, may you speak through this message. May you speak through those that come up here this morning. May you speak through your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we'll be starting with Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 as our scripture for today. Kind of skipping through these. But the Apostle Paul writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." So from this scripture, we can clearly and plainly see that all authority over us, whether we agree with them or not, whether we like them or not, even if we think they're complete bozos, they've been placed there by God. And scripture makes this point very, very clear over and over again. We are to submit ourselves to them, not based on whether or not we believe that they are worthy of the submission from our viewpoint, but from our biblical worldview, they are worthy of submission because, as the verse says, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So since this is our baseline, our starting point for viewing all leadership, that makes a day like today even more special as we honor Reverend Henry Hazard. His role as governing authority, his leadership, elder, pastor of Heritage Bible Church for these 46 plus years. He was and is a wonderful under-shepherd to the Lord, worthy of being subject to, not simply because he is an authority, and so God must have placed him here, but because he's a man who daily, among other things, presents his members to God as instruments for righteousness. You've heard as he goes on his walks, his feet, his knees, his hands, his mouth, he goes through everything. Asking God to make his appointments for him. Has anybody heard that expression? Daily asking, "Lord, make my appointments for me." And uses the word of God as his guide. That's why it's been wonderful to serve under him in our various capacities. Paul continues, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is an authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good." So this last in verse 4, he is God's servant for your good. Two things about the one in authority we see. The one in authority is God's servant. And they're doing this for your good. It's being submitted to the Father, whether in general terms, perhaps they're not submitted, but they're there for your good. That God has put them there. But we know Pastor Hazard is a man who submits to the authority of God, serving these 46 plus years for our good. This is certainly, as I mentioned, been true of him. And we have all been the recipients of his service towards God for our good. In a few minutes, we'll hear some of those testimonies from a few people I've asked to speak here this morning. But the Apostle Paul continues, "But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain or the bow and arrow." Even those deer duck, he has a way of getting them. "For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Kind of appropriate verse, given the week we're here. I won't ask you to raise your hands if you still have to fill out your income taxes, but I'm sure Tom will see many of those folks here this week. Not necessarily you all. I'm not throwing you all under the bus, but Tom will see many of them. Pay to all who, verse 7, are kind of our verse for this week, what we already said as a congregation, pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. Verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. So before we get into talking about, Pastor, I'd be remiss, it says, whatever is owed a person, Scripture clearly tells us to pay it to them. So taxes to the government, since those in political authority, whether we agree with this side or that side, they have been instituted by God. And just we know that just a few days before going to the cross, Jesus made it clear that they are to pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay those taxes to whoever the taxes are owed. It is the United States of America on our currency, on our coins, the faces of those past leaders here of this country. So we pay our taxes to whom taxes are owed. So I would encourage you to do that honestly and above board. Don't remove God's blessing for the benefit of a few hundred or perhaps a few thousand dollars. Pay to whom whatever is owed. But today we will honor and respect Reverend Henry Hazard and show him our love because he is a man who has faithfully and selflessly served the Lord and loved his people for nearly 47 years here in Panama City as pastor of Heritage Bible Church. So before I turn it over to a few folks here, we got some nice things in from a couple of pastors that you have worked with over these years. So we have here from Dwayne Mabee. Henry Hazard, I hear that you are retiring. Oh, no. Congratulations. You have done ministry well for many years. God alone knows all the lives you have impacted for the kingdom. Your professional ministry will be missed, but I trust that you will continue ministering in many ways until our Savior calls you home. I appreciate you, my friend, and honor you for all the ways you've conducted your ministry and shepherded your people. Blessings, Dwayne Mabee. Picture used without permission from Dwayne Mabee. And from another pastor that you've served alongside with, from Ron Higgy up in Birmingham. Henry, I'm sorry I cannot make your retirement celebration. Instead, I'm writing to share some thoughts. To work in any job for this length of time is an accomplishment. To serve the Lord faithfully for as long as you have in one church is a rarity, and you are to be commended for this. Your faithfulness to your call is only exceeded by God and his faithfulness to you. In preserving you through all the various testings and trials that ministry presents to us as pastors with. As you retire, I am sure it is only from your position and not from your lifestyle and practice. However, my prayer for you is that the words of Jesus would echo in your heart, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Find joy in knowing that you have faithfully served faithfully, and please the head of the church, Jesus. Henry, here is a promise that God has brought, that from God that he has brought to mind. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Blessings, Pastor Ron Higgy. So in a few moments here, we'll turn it over to others. There's just a couple of memories that I have that I've truly benefited from before officially starting here, coming down in August of 2015. The family needed a place to live. It's pretty important. Looking online, it was hard to find a place that would take our large dogs because of the laws here in Florida. So it was basically impossible. I had airplane tickets booked for Tuesday through Thursday, and then Monday, after coming home from work, I had a lot of stress and anxiety because I had zero leads but a plane ticket to Tuesday morning to come down here. So I check on my Zillow account, and here pops up a house for sale half a mile from the church. A foreclosure that just seemed perfect for our family. So in flying down here, I had called up the real estate agent we had spoken with in June, and we went and visited that house. It seemed perfect. Keep in mind, as many of you know, this was just me coming down. Rachel and the girls were up in Virginia, and they did not get to see this house that would now become our home. So Rachel trusted me to make the decision. I made a wonderful video walkthrough of the house, which apparently was terrible because I was going like this the whole time, and she got seasick. I wanted you to see everything. But anyways, after seeing the house, I just felt, all right, this is where you're calling. I believe this is where you want us to go. There, I had maybe another possibility the next day I was going to look at. So eating dinner with Pastor and Cynthia, I said, so what should I do? It seems like should I go with these plan Bs? Just a backup option in case this one doesn't fall through. And I'm going to butcher this as I do every time. But I believe he said, does God have a plan B? Or did Jesus have a plan B? Well, no, he didn't. He had a plan A. So I canceled whatever appointment I had the next day. I'm just going to trust these next couple days. I'm going to put all my eggs into this one basket, this foreclosed house, that we're going to get it. And flying back, it was a wonderful time. And so I just really appreciate the wisdom. The Lord drew me closer to himself in that. And he blessed us with that home. And I thank you for that lesson there. I had a second story. Oh, early on in the ministry here, within the first month or so, you shared with me to not have every sermon, make sure, hey, this is, Lord, make this the best sermon I've ever preached. That's the trap of many young pastors. Just, Lord, use this sermon, use this message. So I prayed that. It was a December, preaching a Sunday night message. And so I prayed with your wisdom, Lord, you probably didn't say this. I said, I don't care if I have to look stupid. Use this message to touch somebody. And I walked away that evening feeling incredibly dumb, like I had just blundered this whole thing, similar to a license interview in front of a group of pastors in Birmingham. I felt like I had made no sense whatsoever. But afterwards, I'll go ahead and mention your name. Helen came up to me. Wow, that really touched me. That phrase you said right in there, you have no idea, I believe, how important you are for God's plan or something along those lines. Just, it touched her. Said, I said that? Apparently, it was even up on one of my slides. I didn't remember even, but it was the work that the Lord had done. He had answered that prayer. I felt like an idiot, but the Holy Spirit used that message for his glory to touch Helen, and we used that same phrase that next year as we shared ministries. You have no idea what the Lord wants to do through you. So I really appreciate the wisdom, among other things, that you've given me these past 2.5 years. So I thank you very much for that, Pastor. You've been a wonderful man with big shoes to fill. And I was given wisdom not from you, that I have my own shoes to fill. You have your shoes, so I got to walk in mine. So I'm going to try to do that. We now have four other folks here who's going to come up and just share what Pastor Hazard has meant to them over these years. Tonight, when we honor him at the dinner, we're going to have an open mic after our meal. So at that point, anybody who wants to share any thought, memory, what have you, will have that opportunity at that point. But right now, we're going to have Russell come up and share about Pastor. Then Tom will come on up. And then, Gail, you will come up as a camper person representative. And then we will close out with Pat sharing what Pastor Hazard's mentor to her. So, Russ, if you want to come on up, and I will not be introducing you all, so when the person before you ends, just feel free to come on up.
Good morning, my friends. A few days ago when Brian called and asked me to participate in this morning, I was thrilled and honored. And I would like to say, though, that I hope our fellow brothers and sisters will forgive you this morning, because you're new. You should not have let me go first. He said I only had 3 to 5 minutes. Well, I've made a little list of some of the things I'd like to share with you today. And but on the serious side, I first met Pastor Hazard when I was 8 years old, and I believe he was, were you 26 when you first came here? I think that's about right. It was his second Sunday preaching. Our family had been invited to the church a few weeks before that, and somebody else was preaching. I don't know if he was just filling in because they didn't have a preacher or if he was wanting to be the pastor, but my dad wasn't real excited about him, and so we didn't go the next Sunday. And then the fellow that had invited us said, hey, you need to come back this next Sunday. There's this Colorado cowboy who's going to be preaching, and you need to hear him. And we did come back that second Sunday, and it's been a wonderful history ever since. Now, those of you who know Pastor know that he doesn't like a lot of gushing compliments, so this is a hard day for him. But, you know, he has always told us to give honor where honor is due. And so that's what we're doing here today. I will try to take it easy on him, though. Probably take it easy on myself so I won't choke up. But at any rate, most of you know that Pastor is an aspiring poet. And he is good with rhyme and good with alliteration. And so I would like to return the favor with a little alliteration back to him this morning as we honor him with the three F's. Now, his teacher wife is saying, wait a minute, an F is not a good grade, Henry. And you got three of them. Well, that's okay. Maybe, just maybe, today an F will be a good grade. When I think of Pastor Hazard, as a young man especially, but all through his life, I think of fun. He is always a happy personality. He is always fun. And we had so much fun in the early days with him. And toward him and from him. We had meals and games on that front lawn. It was sandy. It was sand spurs everywhere, but we didn't care. We had a lot of fun. It was called First Independent Methodist at the time. And then he put a ping pong table upstairs. Oh, my goodness. I guess you guys know about him and ping pong. I did beat him one time, though, honestly. And he is true to his word. He does buy you a milkshake if you beat him.
I play
and the rest of the story is he spotted me 15 points to start. But I did beat him. Oh, and at camp, had a great time. What was that old car that you would drive, the little tan? It was a Ford Falcon or something. It has three on the tree. And oh, my goodness, I knew the Lord was on his side to hold that car together all those years. He was definitely dedicated to spend time in our lives on a regular basis and spending time. And sometimes Cynthia was with him and sometimes she wasn't, but she was like the military wife that is back at home keeping everything in order and supporting him in every possible way. And we will always be grateful and thankful for her and the many, many roles that she has played through the years here. Canoeing, we love to go canoeing. I remember a canoeing trip in particular. We'd been down this river as a church many times, down Econ Fina, but one time it was he and I alone. And I've been down this river no less than 24 times, many times, and he himself as well. We were very experienced canoers. Sometimes all that experience really doesn't matter, though. As I tell you this story, I'm reminded of why it's fun to tell stories. When we think of a NASCAR race, we love to talk about the crash, don't we? Turning a right-hand turn, and the water was flowing fast because it had been raining. And, you know, when you're canoeing, you got to take that paddle and you stick it out and you push off the tree because you don't want to touch the tree with your hand. Could be a snake on it, right? So as you're pushing off the tree, we were turning hard right, and just by habit, we reached up, both of us simultaneously, to push off that tree. That tree was solid. It wasn't moving. But now we were perpendicular to the flow of the water. Woo-wee, our canoe went right under us, and I'm telling you, it happened faster than any of us could even. It was less than a nanosecond, and we were okay. We lost a lot of gear that day, but we now know sort of what the Pharaoh's Egyptian army felt like, you know. Woo-wee. Always love the time that, I don't know if you remember the time that Kevin and Ann Granberg and I were sitting on the front row and we were mischievous little boys, just wanted to interrupt, and we would wad a piece of paper up and pull it apart, wad it up and pull it apart. And during silent prayer, Pastor reached under the pulpit here. I may be getting in trouble over here, but he came down and just gave us a quick little rap on the knee, and we knew not to do that anymore. I know he should have suspected something when we were sitting on the front row. Well, a few weeks later, Neil Covington and I were sitting on the front row. I don't know what he was thinking, but he was thinking, uh-oh, what are they up to this time? But we had replaced his water cup. Back in those days, the young men, we were too young to usher, but we were old enough to light the candles and to bring the pastor's water cup. And we'd filled his water cup with 7-Up that day. And we'd sat there paying very close attention. It seemed like forever, but finally, before he finally took his first sip, but and then he took a second sip. Looked over at us with a good smile that day, not a bad one. Folks, all of that, he was spending time in our lives. And I will forever be grateful that he was spending the time that he could have been doing other things in his own personal life, spending time, just not in my life, but in hundreds of lives in this area, to build relationships. The second F I'd like to talk about is fervent. Used to we ask Webster to define fervent. Now we ask Siri or Google to define fervent. But Google says fervent is having or displaying a passion intensity. If you've ever played ping pong with him, you know he can be very passionate. Very intense. If you've ever been to camp with him and he's been the camp counselor and he's trying to clean up and win the prize for having the cleanest cabin, you know how intense he can be. But it's not just in those areas that he's intense. He's also has always been very fervent and intense in defending God's word in Northwest Florida. Many issues have come up through the years, and he has been front and center of many of those issues, and he cared nothing about political correctness. Whether it was his firm pro-life stance, his stand against the gentlemen's clubs, his stand for the rescue mission through all these years and all the struggles they've been through, Pastor Hazard has always been fervent in his stand for God's word. Not only for his stand in God's word, but for his personal life, as he lived out God's word in his life, as he obeyed and followed God's word. I think of this passage when I think of Pastor Hazard. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, but I box in such a way with not without beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I will not disqualify myself. In the 47 years nearly he's been here, Pastor Hazard has never disqualified himself. And I was thinking about it the other day, and it kind of dawned on me where this came from. You know, he tells the story of his father and how when young Henry became a Christian, his father didn't like that very much. Didn't like him toting that Bible around town. His father had been done wrong by several people who called themselves Christians, and perhaps they were. He had a bad taste in his mouth for Christians. And young Henry knew even then, in order for his father to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he had to not just talk the talk, but he had to walk the walk. He had to discipline himself so that his preaching, after he was done, would not be disqualified. He spent many years doing that for his father, so that when he came here to us, well, they say if you do something 30 days in a row, it's a habit. Living a disciplined, God-fearing, obedient life has been a habit all of his life, and he has never disqualified himself. He is fervent. And last but not least, he is, of course, faithful. If you've ever called him at 2 in the morning when you're at the hospital, you know he's faithful. And I thank Cynthia's faithfulness in the midst of all that, too, because she was right there with him. Sometimes she came down. Sometimes she was woken up in the middle of the night. I don't imagine she ever complained. I don't know. But I know she loves us just as much as he does, and she was right there with him through it all. He was faithful to teach us God's word correctly, to study it fervently himself, and to teach it to us as if God were standing here himself. He was fervent to teach us to memorize God's word, and I know for a fact many of the verses I've memorized through the years have changed my life sincerely, and I'm thankful that he encouraged us to memorize those verses. He is faithful to pray for us. Whew, boy, it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm so glad he's prayed for me all these years. He is faithful to keep God's word in his own life, to be that example that we all need. You know, he doesn't like all this mushy talk, so I'll help him out a little bit. He has made a few mistakes over the past 46, 47 years that I've seen. Not very many, but a few. He would attest to that as well. But folks, that's the point. God never called Henry Hazard to be perfect. He called him to be faithful. And faithful he has been. Thank you, Brother Hassan.
My list is longer than that one.
Anyway, I brought Helen up here just for moral support. She's just going to stand here beside me, and we've been here for 20 years. This is our 20th year, and this is my 18th year working with Pastor Hazard. He asked me to help out as an administrator, and well, hopefully that's been a good thing. But one passage I want to read that I think really says a lot about the character of Henry Hazard. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only for your own interests, but also the interest of others. Also, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, and being found in appearances of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. When I think of Henry Hazard, you know, we always think of servant leader. That's a term that's used a lot. But I think of him as a humble servant leader. And that's where it begins, with humility. And I can give you example after example of that character quality that's been built in his life. I'll give one example. It goes way back when we first moved here and to this facility, and I think September 99. And come spring, the grass is growing out there in that front lawn, and we didn't have any mowing equipment yet. But one Saturday morning, I came up here, and another fellow came up here, and we saw Pastor Hazard with his push mower he brought from home mowing that front yard. By himself. So we said, so we got to help him. So that's the kind of guy, he's humble. He didn't ask for help. He just saw a need and went and helped out. Another thing I see about his humility, he always asks for counsel or feedback. And when you offer him feedback or counsel, even if it's unsolicited, he listens to it. And he's willing to listen. And I really appreciate that about him. I always felt like being here, up here, working alongside him, I felt like it's being alongside him. I never felt like there was a relationship. He's the boss, and I'm the servant. It was still, always felt like working together as unto the Lord. And that's the way it always felt like. So I'll be short so others can be long, okay? Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is not me you see up here. This is David. I spoke with David Camperman this morning. The conversation kind of sounded like this. David, what would you like me to say for you? I said, could you make it a little clearer? Oh, you want me to say that pastor was a great teacher? Let me back up a second. David has been going to this church since he was in the original packaging, which is almost 33 years ago. A thief? No. A tree. Oh, you want me to say that pastor's like a tree? Yes. And I said, well, how interesting. It's funny. Adrian had said yesterday that she didn't have enough pictures, and I remembered Genuine Antique. This is a directory from 1989. And there's a picture of someone with more hair sitting in the trunk of a tree, and it says, I'm sitting on the trunk of a special tree. There's one trunk and one root system, but there are two distinct trees that shelter the ground below. This was when we did our first combined directory with Heritage and with Venture Out. So I thought, a tree. When I had been thinking about what I would say, I thought of Psalm 1, and I mentioned that to David, and he said, yes. So this is what Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What David was mumbling over the phone basically was that you guys have, where are you? Oh, there you are. That you guys have been like a tree firmly planted. All the years that he has been here, you have stayed the same. And I think it's because you're like the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the wicked, or sit in the seat of the scornful, whatever it is. You know this. You have stayed the same. The last thing that David said was he's seen more trees change than you two. So that was David. Who's next?
Well, I'll never forget the first time. It was 20 years ago. I was handling the marketing for No Casinos, the push here locally. And Henry Hazard was representing the Ministerial Association in conjunction with that issue. Our group effort was successful in keeping casinos out of our area. When there were issues to be addressed, yes, Russ, head on, Henry Hazard was there. Fast forward several years later, and we as a family were in crisis, but we were in between pastors at the church we were attending. I called Henry Hazard, asked if he remembered me and could help us, and Henry Hazard was there. In the business community, when a prayer was needed to be said over a chamber event, Henry Hazard was there. When my brother died suddenly, Henry Hazard was there with Cynthia. When I had surgery, Henry was there, even though I told him he did not have to be. And then when I was admitted to the hospital again, and no one was supposed to know, Henry Hazard was there. When the rescue mission desperately needed leadership, but despite a shingles attack, Henry Hazard was there. Officiating at Tom's father's funeral all the way in Pensacola, Henry Hazard was with us. When our grandson wanted to be baptized, Henry Hazard did the Duncan. When our dog died, Henry Hazard was there. When Tom and I wanted to renew our vows for 25 years, Henry officiated. When our grandson shot his first deer, Henry Hazard was there and even wrote a follow-up essay about the experience for Trey to keep. When I was in the throes of contentious politics, Henry Hazard was there to keep me grounded. When friends were on their deathbed and we knew they were not saved, Henry dropped whatever he was doing and once even drove several hours to a city to lead that person to Christ. When Heritage Helps and Crossing Paths began, Henry Hazard was there always providing prayer, direction, support, and valued counsel. And I know that our family is not unique. I know when you all have had traumatic events or happy events, Henry Hazard was there for you as well. I don't know how he did it. He just did it. But what I most cherish is that with virtually all of my spiritual awakenings, those truly meaningful aha moments, it was because Henry Hazard was there that I am able to be here in a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior. For that, I'm grateful.
Before we go to our closing hymn, let's just have a moment of prayer, of just thanksgiving to the Lord. We want to give honor to honor is due. We want to thank God. Could have sent him anywhere. A number of circumstances could have come up to take you away from us. But God's been faithful to this, been faithful to Henry Hazard. So we want to thank the Lord for giving us Pastor Hazard. So let me lead us in that prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for Pastor Hazard, the incredible works that you've done in his heart, in his life, calling him to you, using him to call many hundreds, who knows, perhaps more, to life-saving knowledge in you through Pastor Hazard. Lord, thank you for giving him the will to serve you. Thank you for giving him the abilities to serve you. Thank you for Cynthia coming alongside him, coming alongside this church. Lord, we thank you for her faithfulness and your faithfulness towards her and towards their marriage. When one was up, or when one was down, the other was up. Lord, we thank you for your hand of provision there and upon this church. Lord, looking back over these 47 years of history, we're incredibly grateful towards you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.